Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
Good morning, everyone. If you'd like to follow along with me, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. We're actually going to be only looking at one verse, verse 27, where our Lord said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, neither let it be afraid." Our Lord had just spoken these words that we read in chapter 14, that he was going away. He was going to leave his disciples. It was time for him to go to the cross. It was time for him to depart out of this world. And he had spoke to his disciples in this 14th chapter here, telling them that I'm going away. Don't be overly concerned about this. This is the purpose that I came into the world to do. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Many of the things that our Lord spoke to his disciples in that day, they did not understand. They did not see clearly. They did not have the written word as we have it to follow after them. So what our Lord was telling them, he said, "I'm going to tell you these things, that when these things come to pass, you won't be overly concerned about it. You won't be overly afraid of what's coming to pass." Our Lord had told him, said, "I'm going away." And we read in John chapter 13 and verse 36, he says, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest?" Lord, where are you going to? We don't understand this. You're leaving us, but where are you going to? And Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. It won't be long, Peter, that you will be with me." And Peter said unto him, "Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I'm ready to go with you. I will lay down my life for your sake." And our Lord answered him in verse 38. Jesus said unto him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." So his disciples, although they was personally taught of him, personally walked with him, personally knew him, they did not understand what he was talking about. They did not see the peace that he was going to give them. And he tells them in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give peace." The world cries peace and peace when there is no peace. But in this person, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a peace that passes all understanding. We have this peace that he gives unto us, which is the Holy Spirit of God, coming and dwelling within us. The Spirit of God comes to us through the gift of God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes and dwells in us. This peace is something you've never experienced before. Yes, the world cries peace, but oh, this peace. This peace that we have in Christ, a peace that eases our conscience, that eases our hearts, our minds, and our soul, and causes us to rest, lay down at night, and know that if the Lord returns tonight, I will be with the Lord. This is the confidence that we have when we have faith in Christ. Men around us talk about, "Oh, I hope I've done enough. I hope I've done this, and I hope I've done that, but I don't know. I don't know to this last day." There's no peace in that. There is no peace in knowing, well, have I done enough, or have I been good enough? Have I given enough? Have I not done this? There's no peace there. That's what the world cries, peace, peace, when there is no peace. But oh, this peace that our Lord gives us is a peace that has to be experienced. I could tell you about it, and I could stand here and tell you this and this and this, but we must experience it. It's something that we must have it personal within us. So I want to look at four points of peace. The first point is, what is this peace? Our Lord said, peace I leave with you, my peace, the peace that I have with God, I'm going to give to you. That's an amazing statement. That's something that I can't get a hold of. I mean, the same peace that our Lord Jesus Christ had with his heavenly Father, he gives unto me. The Lord's time was at hand to go to the cross. And he said, peace I leave with you. We read in John chapter 14, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. These things troubled his disciples again. They did not understand these things. But he gives us, or if we could just enter into this, if God would be pleased to just open our hearts and cause us to understand what he's talking about here. Peace I leave with you. You may not understand it now, Peter, but oh, you will. You will. He said, when I go away, I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter. And that comforter, when he comes, he will take of the things of mine and show them unto you. Men talk about getting the Holy Spirit, and it causes them to do this, and it causes them to do that. It causes them to talk in tongues. It causes them to run aisles and jump pews. Nowhere in Scripture do we find the Holy Spirit leading men to do this. The Holy Spirit, that Spirit that God gives, this peace that God gives unto us, takes of the things of Christ and teaches us. How do we know these things? How do we know that Christ came into the world to save sinners? The Spirit of God teaches us. The Spirit of God comes and dwells within us, takes up an abode within our hearts and causes us to know, causes us to understand, and causes us to see what great things he has done. We read in John chapter 14 and verse 28, he says, you have heard how I've said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice. He could see the troubled look upon their faces. But he said, if you love me, if you understood these things, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto my Father. What a glorious and grand thing it was for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into this world, to take upon himself flesh, to be made sin, to the point that God's wrath came down upon him and punished him for this thing of sin in my room and in my stead. And he punished him so sore that he gave up the ghost. His life went out of him because of the turmoil and the pain and the suffering and the curse that he took upon himself, to the point that his life, he said, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And that's simply what he did. When he hung there on that cross, under the wrath and curse of sin, he gave up his life. He gave his life a ransom for his people. And then he tells his disciples, now I've told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. I've told you these things. Now, in a little while, in a few days, you're not going to see me anymore. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be taken down. I'm going to be laid in the tomb. And on the third day, I'm going to arise. And then I'm going to ascend back unto my Father. And the men stood there at Galilee, and they saw him ascend up into the clouds and return unto his Father. I wonder, did they remember the scripture that he told them? Did they remember the words that he spoke unto them? I believe they do. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. While I'm with you in the world, I comforted you. I took you by the hand, and I taught you, and I instructed you, and I led you, and I fed you. I done all these things for you, but now I'm going away. I'm leaving this world. I'm returning unto my heavenly Father, but I'll not leave you without a comforter. I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That is the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, coming unto men, coming and entering into men, coming and taking up an abode within the hearts of believers. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For the Comforter will dwell with you and in you. And this is the peace. This is the peace that I leave with you. The peace that dwells within the person is God Himself dwelling in me. Can I understand that? No. Can I explain that to you to where you can understand it? I hope we can. But we must experience it. We must have an experience that God comes and dwells within us, takes up an abode, takes up residence within the heart of every true believer. So where is this peace found? This peace is the giving of the Holy Spirit. The second point is, where is this peace found? This peace can only be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my peace I give unto you. The peace that I have with my Father, I give it unto you. To where you are one with the Father. You have the same peace, you have the same standing before God that I do. And men say, well, that's blasphemy. You're still in your flesh. There's still sin in this flesh. Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. And we war against sin. But we can push sin down one spot and it pop back up somewhere else. But as long as we're in this flesh, as long as we dwell in this body of clay, we're going to deal with this thing of sin. Sin is going to disturb us. Sin is going to cause us to do things that we should not do, say things that we should not say. But oh, this peace still remains here. This peace is still with me. He will dwell with you forever. I will not leave thee. I will not forsake thee. I'll go with thee always, even unto the end of the world. I and my Father are one. And you having this peace in me, you having the peace that I give unto you by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this faith that he works within us, the gift of God, causing us to believe, causing us to hear the gospel, and causing us to come and hear and see and understand something about the greatness of our God. I and my Father are one, and in Christ, I am one with God. And men, so you shouldn't say things like that. That's according to Scripture. We must teach and preach the truth of the gospel. We must tell men who they are by nature, and also tell them who they are in Christ. We tell men that they're dead in trespasses and sin. They say, oh, that don't mean dead, don't mean dead. Yes, it does. We have no ability. We have no strength. We have no desire towards the things of God. We died in Adam. And when Adam sinned, we sinned because we were in him. And when Christ came, made in the likeness of sinful men, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. When he came and lived this holy, perfect life before God, he honored the law of God, and he crossed every T and dotted every I concerning the law of God. And he provided a perfect righteousness for his people, and he gives it unto them. He takes this cloth of sin off of us and wraps it unto himself to the point that he was made sin. And he takes his perfect righteousness off of himself and wraps it around me to the point that God says, he's holy, he's unblameable, he's unreprovable in the very sight of God because of my standing in Christ, because my relationship with Christ, because I am his and he is mine. That's the peace that we have in Christ. We read in John chapter 17 and verse 21 that they all may be one, all of God's elect, all of those that God chose before the foundation of the world, he put them in Christ before the foundation of, before the world was ever formed. And he looks upon them. Was I born then? No. No. I don't know how many years ago that it was that Christ came into the world in the flesh. But whenever he came, I was in him. I was in him. The Father put me there to the point that everything that he did, I did. Every law that he obeyed, I obeyed. Every commandment that he kept, I kept. Every righteous thought that he had, I had, because I was in him. Because this relationship with me in Christ. I am that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they also may be one in us. There's no big I's and little U's in Christ. There's no men that stands up to here and men that fall down to here. We're one with Christ. And the only way that we can understand that is to experience it by the giving of the Holy Spirit unto us, causing us to look to Christ, causing us to lean on Christ, causing us to profess Christ, and causing us to love him, worship him, and magnify his name. Are we equal with God? Oh, no, don't. That's not what I'm talking about. God is holy, 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 holy. We are sinful. As long as we dwell in this flesh, we fight against this thing of sin. Paul said, the things that I would do, I do not. But the things that I would not, I do. I find then a law, the warring against my members, bringing me into captivity. For the law, the sin and death. Oh, but with the flesh, I serve the law of sin and death, but with the Spirit. This new man, this new creation, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I serve the law of God. And God looks upon me in the all-seeing eye of God. He looks upon me and he sees his Son. In the Beloved, accepted am I, risen, ascended, and seated on high. God sees my Savior, then he sees me. In the Beloved, accepted and free. That's our standing with God in Christ. Let me read you something here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Well, that leaves me out. Oh, it leaves me out of this flesh, but not in spirit. It leaves me out because there's sin in this flesh. But oh, this new man, this new creation, which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, his seed remaineth in him to the point that he cannot sin. I cannot sin in the eyes of God. In this flesh, yes, I sin and come short of God's glory every hour of every day. Even as we attempt to teach and to preach the gospel, things come in our minds that's not right. Thoughts come, well, I wonder how this one's doing or how that what this one thinks about. That's not right. We are to preach the gospel, be instant in season, out of season, and let the chip fall where they may. God says, I have sent my word forth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I sent it to do. So let us proclaim faithfully and truly that Jesus Christ is all in salvation. Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to Christ I cling. No works that I do commends me to God. Nothing that I could, even the best deeds that I do, are called filthy rags, needed to be burnt and done away with. But oh, in Christ I'm holy. I'm holy. You shouldn't talk like that. That's blasphemy against God. No. No, we see ourselves by the Spirit of God teaching us. We see ourselves, oh yes, I'm sinful in this flesh, but in the Spirit, in this new man, this new creation, I am holy as God's own Son. This is the reason Paul could say, there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation. God sees no reason to condemn me. He sees only reasons to love me because of my relationship with the Son and the Son's relationship with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's the key. What is your standing before God? Am I standing there in my own righteousness, or am I standing robed in the righteousness of Christ? To them that are in Christ, who walk not as the flesh, but as the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free. I'm free from the condemnation of God because Christ took my penalty. Christ died for my sin, and my sins are gone. I have no sin in the eyes of God. Now, how do I receive this peace? The third point. We receive it by faith, the gift of God. Oh, I've got to work myself up and do it. We receive it by faith, the gift of God. God gives us, freely gives unto me, faith to look to Christ. How great thou art. Oh, it causes our hearts to spring out and to magnify and honor and glorify our God for the great things that he has done for such a worm as I. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When the gospel is preached, when the true gospel is preached, when the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, and God is pleased by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, he comes to his people, he comes to his elect, he comes to his redeemed one, and creates faith in them, causing them by this faith that he creates in them, the gift of God, to lay all their hope, all their foundation, all their sight, and all their glory, all their honor to Christ. And they say, there he is. All I need is that Jesus Christ died for me. This is all that we have. This is all that we need is for us to stand before God and plead Christ and him crucified. Life to look. Oh, he creates this new life within us, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Life to look to Christ. Life to lay hold of Christ by faith. Life to plead the blood and the righteousness of Christ. And this is the record we read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. This is the record that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, I am crucified with Christ. When Christ died, I died. Nevertheless, I live. I live in this flesh. I live in this flesh. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's that peace. That's the peace that we have being in Christ. The life that I now live is not my own. I belong to the Son of God. I belong to God the Father. He's paid my sin debt. He's bought me from the condemnation of sin. He has redeemed me, and I'm his. I am his, and he is mine. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, many of the Corinthians never understood this. And he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you understand that God dwells in you? Don't you understand that you are the temple of God and the Holy Ghost dwells in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Oh, let us understand. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved, and his desire, is towards me. Those who Christ came to live and die for. This is the peace that he gives unto us. Not something that we work for. Not something we gain by doing or not doing. This peace is given. He said, my peace I give unto you. This peace is given to a particular people. Those for whom God chose before the foundation of the world. Those for whom Christ came into the world and lived and died in their room instead. And those whom the Holy Spirit speaks to and says, come out from among them and be ye a separated people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Those whom God is pleased to call, come out, come out, come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's that peace. That's that call that he gives us. And then he gives us peace to sit down, to rest. Oh, rest in Christ. Look to Christ and rest in him. Find peace for your heart. Find peace for your soul. Find comfort for your hearts in time of trouble. But we can only find it in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know whom I believe. We must understand these things. If not, I hope I continue to the end, or I hope that I do this, or I hope that I can see you in glory. I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded. I know by the Spirit of God dwelling within me that I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And men say, oh, there it is. You got to commit. You commit, yes, but you commit through the faith of the Son of God. You give yourself to him, and he gives himself to you to the point that you're one with him in God. How long will this peace be with me? That's my final point. David said in Psalm chapter 17 and verse 15, he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. This is every true believer's testimony. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. I will be complete when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, our Lord prayed in John chapter 17. Read it sometime when you have the opportunity to do so. Read it and listen to what our Lord said. He's, Father, I will. It is my desire. And you believe the Father hears the Son? Oh, yes. He said, Father, I know that thou hearest me always, but for thee sake, I say these things. He hears us. He hears the Son, and he answers every request that the Son makes. He says, I will that they also be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, the glory that I had with thee before the world was. But I came into the flesh, and I died for their sin, and now I'm returning unto thee. And one day, our Lord will present us before the very presence of God. And he said, behold, I and the children which thou gavest me. We are there by faith in Christ. We are there by the works of Christ. And we are there through the gift of God that he puts within us, this Holy Spirit, to lead us, to guide us, and to keep us looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us look to Christ and live. Find peace and rest for your soul in him. Thank you.